Welcome to Deskmates, your Eurovision podcast. I'm Robbie, I'm your Marcus host.
And I'm Ken, and I guess I'm your Martinez host then. Yeah.
That says we're Marcus and Martinez, through and through.
We're like the grandparents. Yeah. I'm older than their father.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm trying to think where I'm from, I could be their parents. People, yeah, I would have to have been, wait a second, I can't do maths.
They're 22.
So I'd be 17. Yeah, parents at 17 where I'm from. I'm the only idiot that waited till I was 38. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
I could be a grandparent.
Yeah, I mean, you will. Hopefully someday.
Well, we'll
two
see.
Twins.
Yeah. Mm. To more kids. More people in the world. That's what we need. speaking of twins. Yes. Well, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. But obviously the headline today is Marcus and Martinez win Melody Festivalen. The final, so they will be representing Sweden, which is a whole thing we're going to get into. Let's do a little bit of housekeeping, Ken.
Yep, sure.
First one is, I've mentioned several times that you can leave comments directly under episodes. We can't reply to them, so I don't know if that's a thing. Like, obviously on YouTube, you can leave a comment and then you can reply. You can't reply to these. All I have the choice to do is to publish them so other people can see them or delete them. So someone left a comment and said, would love a Best of San Remo episode. And I want to reply to that person and be like, we did one. It's episode 8. But obviously, if you only just discovered the podcast, maybe you didn't realize we've already done one.
Or maybe they wanted like a Best of San Remo, like going back, like we did with Croatia. Oh. But that would be like, I would right now say that's not going to happen. Because the thing is, I discovered San Remo, I think, like 2 or 3 years ago. So I'm like very much a Robbie when it comes to San Remo. Then, of course, I've known that San Remo, I mean, the winners have been coming from San Remo for years.
Yeah.
And there's obviously probably songs that both of us have heard that's from there, but we don't know about it. But I can't like have like, oh, this is my 10th, because it's a very new thing for me. It happened when with Gabani in like 2017 that I'm starting to like listening to it again, and then it's just spiraling. So this is like my second year I really, really go into it. Or third maybe. Yeah,
that's really interesting because San Remo is your favorite time of year.
Like
you love it. And it's
but it has been like the three last year, but it's also been building there. It has not been this good forever.
Okay.
So this day, yeah, it's a very conscious way to change it into something good
for people. Like. Well, if that's what you meant with your comment, then we're not the guys to do it.
No, so, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. But have to, yeah, okay.
Have to ask some Italian guy.
Yeah, like Paolo Nutini.
He's free now.
A quick one. I think we did Basha Murad dirty in the last episode because we listened to the song in Icelandic, but he sang in English in the final. That was obviously the preferred language. So we did cover this in the episode, but when I edited the episode, I've just felt really bad. I've listened to that song now several times in English, and I like it. It's a good song. It definitely wouldn't win the whole thing based on merit alone.
No.
If we took every other factor out. But it's definitely infinitely better than Herre Björk.
And it's been a very... Yeah, oh, Jesus. But it's also been a very infected situation about all this. The way that they do in Iceland to just single it down to two songs. I don't know if we mentioned this last
time.
But I mean, you vote pro or against something.
Yes, exactly.
And that's I mean... Anybody can understand that was what's going on there.
Yeah.
I don't think people had picked Herre Björk otherwise, which of course is a horrible thing for poor Herre Björk to have to go with a song that was actually just voted because they wanted to vote away something else.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Mm. Absolutely. Okay, another quick update. Austria's song, We Will Rave. I think I was a bit too hard on it because I just said, it's a bad song. It's not... an interesting song. It is a good song. I'll give it that. And obviously I've listened to it for quite a few times since last week. And it's good. It's just, it's done to death. There's so many of these songs. That's all I want to say. It is a good song. If anyone was offended, I'm sorry. And then the other one is, we talked about Just Klein with Europapa two episodes ago. And I absolutely love it. The thing that we didn't do is, I didn't really try to analyze it too much because obviously it's in Dutch. I don't speak Dutch fluently. So now I've watched it with the subtitles on. And I think it's a really interesting, like on surface level, it looks like a silly song like Windows 95 Man. But it's like a love letter to Europe from him and talking about all these different cultures and how Europe is, maybe I'm interpreting too much now, but how Europe is this melting pot of cultures and what makes Europe strong are all these cool things. And specifically, the Too Unlimited dance break that you object to, where else in the world do you get that music? That's so European. Like, we did that to the rest of the world. So I just think it's a really nice celebration of these things.
They did that to the rest of the world, also the Dutch people. Do you want to, you know, do you want me to just say something here?
Sure.
The thing is, I'm also completely reevaluated that coming from, which we're going to talk about in a second. I've been to my first Eurovision party of the season, meeting people from all over Europe, talking about these songs, dancing to these songs, hearing them over and over again, see the reactions. And of course, that's when you start to re-evaluate everything. And that's what I love with this contest. So I would say that both, probably most the Netherlands, because I really, really didn't like it from yeah. the beginning. And I'm completely changed also until what you do when people explained it to me and I looked to it like seriously with yeah. other eyes and also see what effect that fucking dance break, sorry, beep, with that effect that dance break has on the dance floor. Like yeah. it's just crazy.
Yeah.
So this that's definitely something that can win and it will be in the top. I don't know what I said the other time, but I'm taking that back. Same thing actually for Switzerland, which I also didn't like, this melting pot of different things. But when I start to hear about like what they want to tell with that song, it's like how they perceive themselves as very different things.
Right.
And that's why the song is like yeah. very different things. Yeah. Like you're running through. And I still, as you all know that listen to the podcast, I'm allergic to the operatic parts in that song, but the drum and bass part of it, just love it.
It's great.
Just love it, yeah.
Yeah.
So those two, I'm completely, I mean, and that's a lovely thing. This will happen. It's not like you, I'm never going to get like stuck to one opinion about songs. You, sure. That's the thing. Like,
and I'm still working on you with Zero Gravity. Chip it away.
Zero Gravity, zero in.
No plot. Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned pre-parties, Ken.
Mm?
What are pre-parties?
What are pre-parties? Pre-parties, just a couple of years ago, and I'm guessing a bit, but this is how I perceived it, like coming here. There was one big pre-party, and that was in the Netherlands.
Mm.
So in Amsterdam, people go there, and I wouldn't say all, but it started with like several of this year's selected artists coming there and singing their song, like in a club. Then it just spiraled and got more and more, and people just that like is the place you want to go, like you want to go there and show your things. And then they started, I think they have like a pre-party, so it's like a 2-day thing, this kind of thing. Then of course people looked at it and was like, oh, maybe we should do that. So
we
now,
should do one of those.
Yeah, we should do one of those. So there's a big one I know in Madrid that a lot of my friends go to that they really love. It's also like a couple of days, I think. There's one in Barcelona, so Spain, they have two, but they have also a great, huge fandom. There's usually one in Tel Aviv. I don't think there will be one this year, but that's also was a very big one. I probably forget some of the bigger ones now, but there's also like a small one, and it's not like an official pre-party that I just went to in Sweden, because it's, I mean, not every song selected yet. This is on a smaller scale, but I met some of this year's contestants there. But the big ones are the Netherlands and the ones in Spain. I would say this year. Oh, there's also one in London. I forgot about that. So that's one in London also. And I think nowadays more and more, you can't do Eurovision and not go to Amsterdam. That's weird. People will be like, why are you not here? Then you have to be on like a Marco Mengoni kind of level of fandom at home.
Mm.
But I think he was there last year also. So, I mean, but you understand like that kind of, but otherwise they are there.
And so two things. One, Madrid and Barcelona, both in Spain. That's right. But the people from Barcelona would say, well, this is Catalonia.
Exactly.
We have our own, you know.
We have our own, yeah.
Yeah. And then I find it interesting that London has a big one, because obviously the United Kingdom, their perception in the contest, but they host one of the bigger pre-parties.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the British fans are very engaged in Eurovision. I mean, they have a huge fandom. They tend to love a bit weird things, maybe, but they love it. I mean, it's not like a huge thing. I think it's a club in London. But it's also, I think, I mean, it's people want to go to London. I mean, if you're a Polish artist or you're a Swedish artist, for that matter, you want to go to London and say, I have a gig in London.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when will they do that otherwise? So, yeah, that's also one factor, of course.
Mm.
So, but not everybody's doing every pre-party. So that's also like you want to have the one pre-party where like everybody comes to, or that one artist that comes to your pre-party and not to everybody else.
Okay.
So Sweden, we did for a long time, we hadn't a tradition to do this because, I mean, it wasn't a thing here, but I think it started with Mons going on to the different ones and and now I think people go there every year.
So this weekend,
yep,
just gone, you were in Stockholm for the final.
Yes.
And there was also
Melfest weekend, which is called there.
Melfest.
Yes.
We haven't talked about Melfest. Hashtag Melfest.
Hashtag Melfest.
Do you want to give a quick explainer to what Melfest is?
Melfest is when Twitter came, They need Melody Festivalen needed a hashtag, so they had a vote, and Melfest won. And for some reason, people out in the world in Europe now start to call it Melfest. Nobody says Melfest; everybody says Mello in Sweden. So Melfest is not a thing, but Melfest. When you talk to British fans or you talk to fans out in Europe, they say Melfest because it comes from a hashtag. Right. So it's the hashtag.
Okay.
So yeah, and Melfest weekend is also because you are not allowed to use Melody Festivalen or Mello nowadays because SVT has trademarked this. So you can't do like a private gig. But Melfest still works.
It's public domain.
Yeah. So Melfest weekend, and it's a combination of a party where you listen and dance to Eurovision music, but also a concert thing. And it's everything from like somebody who did something for Malta several years ago coming to sing their song and something like that. But also this year we had Gothe from Norway, and we had the artists from Poland and Lithuania and Denmark.
Luna, Sylvester Belte, and
Saba. Yeah, really nice people, all of them, especially Gothe. I didn't talk a lot to them, but I was talking mostly to Gothe because, mm-hmm.
They seem lovely. Ken sent me a nice little clip of them. They seem like lovely, lovely people.
Yeah. I mean, talked about our podcast.
Brilliant.
Hi, you're listening to Deskmate.
Deskmate. Your provider of quality Eurovision material since way back when. We are Gothe, and we will be playing at Malmö, and I hope you will see it and tune in. And
listen to Urvan and Walt on us if you can.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah.
Still my favorite song so far, I'll say. I mean, no spoilers, because I think over the next couple of weeks, you and I should each do a top 5 or top 10. But what I will say is, even though there are songs that I maybe want to win more, that is still my favorite song because it's just so good. But yeah.
So interesting, because I feel nothing about that. It's not my song at all.
Yeah,
but I really, every time I hear it, I'm like, this is going to work. This is going to go well. They were much younger. Everybody's much younger because I'm old. That's why, yeah. But they were very cool, nice people. Like, you mean, people playing this kind of own rock music, folk music. Maybe it's me who have like prejudice against that. I thought they would be like weird or like very musician kind of people. But these were lovely. And they were also like, because they are a big band. They have fans outside Norway, but of course a lot of fans in Norway. But coming out and just discover that they suddenly like a completely new fandom, like hundreds of people just liking them. It was like they were really like taken aback, like, wow, this world, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Because the world is very weird. It's very weird.
Welcome in. The water's lovely.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the other big news this weekend. So there was a party, but the party was coinciding with the final of Melody Festivalen.
Exactly.
2024. Now, spoilers we've already covered, and it'll be in the title of the episode, but Marcus and Martinus won.
Yeah.
And this is big for a whole host of reasons, Ken. What is the historical significance of this?
Oh, and I'm so glad I can say that now, because I was writing the wrong stuff at QX. Because I was... Here, it's not very common that... it's very common that there's an artist from another country representing another country.
Sure.
That's happened through history a lot of times. I mean, the small countries in the beginning, but there are also people are like traveling from different... I think...
I don't know if you know this, but Celine Dion, she represented Switzerland.
So she won famously for Switzerland. And yeah, that's one of the things. But there have been several of them. I don't have to talk about. And also people being like representing different countries. Yeah, things like that. But to represent a country...
While they're hosting,
that's not very common at all. Luxembourg has done it because they are a very small country. So they usually, they borrowed singers from France and Switzerland and things like that when they, so that wasn't anything unusual. So I thought we were like the first big country or whatever, a country with more inhabitants than Gothenburg at least, that have done it. But then yesterday I realized that in 2002 we were in Estonia, the only time Estonia has won, and there was a Swedish woman called Celine representing Estonia that year. So there's actually been, when it's not Luxembourg, it's been a Swede who has done this.
Right.
So I think we're just getting it back now with two Norwegian acts on Swedish soils.
Yeah.
But I mean, Marcus and Martinus, it's Swedish songwriters, it's a song contest, so...
I mean, what's quite funny for me as a non-native Swede is they are on Melody Festivalen, and in between when they're doing their postcards and bits to camera, they're speaking Norwegian.
Yeah.
But I can understand what they're saying because Norwegian and Swedish are such similar languages. Yeah. I mean, there are differences, but you can understand them. So they're basically Swedish.
Yeah, I mean, they were stars when they were really, really small kids, like 8 years old or something, or 11, whatever, when they were very young. And then they were very big in Norway, but also in Sweden and there. But then, I guess, as an adult artist, they've been more embraced by the Swedes. I think they're bigger in Sweden than in Norway. Of course, Norway are not very happy either. Happy. Of course, they're happy for them, probably. But there are questions, of course, why they're not representing Norway.
Yep.
Because they've been asked to represent Norway several times and said no. And I mean, here's the thing. You have seen MGP. If you want to choose one, maybe you choose Melodifestivalen.
Okay.
It's more money. So it's more viewers. Yeah.
There's more gravitas like in Melodifestivalen than the Melody Grand Prix in Norway. There's also the fact that Sweden is a country of 10 million people. Norway is 4 point something. Mm. So there's a bigger market here. So I imagine there's more money in making music for the Swedish audience. I'm going to give you my immigrant view. Sure. Of the Swedish-Norwegian conflict or rivalry, because I think it's really interesting. So historically, Sweden is like the England of Scandinavia. We're the ones that have been mean to our neighbours in Sweden, invading.
Well, Denmark was like the big bad boy back in the days.
Okay.
They were like making war to everybody. So, okay. I mean, Denmark and Sweden were big, and Norway was usually a part of Sweden or a part of Denmark.
Right.
They were very seldom their own country.
Sure.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. We also had Finland.
I'm giving you my view. This is not a history lesson, but my view is that you know, they were the ones that were invading the people around them. Mm-hmm. So there's this impression that Finland, Norway, and Denmark don't really like Swedes for this sort of historical reason. But then not very long ago, in like the 90s or whatever, they found oil in Norway. And then everyone became super rich because the government there made this decision that they'd make all of the funds and the proceeds from the oil public.
Yep.
So they'd put it into publicly funded things. So basically everyone in Norway is really rich. And their economy is doing really well, relative certainly to Sweden. And so you get this effect that Swedes on their summer holiday, their summer break from school, would go and work in Norway to earn a lot of money.
Yep.
And so, like, Norwegians have this perception now of Swedes as being like the poor cousin that comes and does cleans their toilets or whatever. I just think it's really interesting. And then obviously now we've stolen their biggest pop stars to be in Mello.
Since I grew up in a part of Sweden that was Danish for most of the time.
Yeah.
See it a bit differently, maybe, since we, the Danes were like taking a lot of, nobody ever took Denmark, but
sure.
Anyway. One interesting historical thing is that there was never a conflict. We just gave it away.
Right.
So they just wanted to be by themselves, and we were like, okay, go. And they were, because there was nothing there until they found the oil. I don't think anybody today would have been a bit more of a conflict if that happened today.
Sure, yeah. Mm. I'm amazed the Americans didn't do anything about it when they heard there was oil.
Yeah, and I mean, Finland was the same. I mean, we had them both. And then it just, bye-bye. Do better of your own.
One lovely more recent thing that happened between the Scandinavian neighbours is, so don't shoot me if I'm wrong, but I heard that there are no mountains in Finland. There are lots of mountains in Norway. So the three countries all meet at the top of Sweden, and then there's a border between Norway and Finland. Norway gifted a mountain peak to Finland. So they moved the border like 30 kilometers so that there was officially a mountain in Finland. I thought that was a nice gesture.
Yeah, if you want a mountain, that's really nice.
Who doesn't want a mountain?
Who doesn't want a mountain? Yeah. Probably like the biggest mountain.
Just been our birthdays, and now people, next year, you know what to get us. We both want a mountain.
Not in Finland, though. I can do this with a Swedish mountain. Maybe.
Closer to home. Speaking of Swedish mountains, Melodifestivalen is a huge mountain that Marcus and Martinus have climbed. They were victorious. Should we talk a little bit about the voting system in Mello, Ken?
Do you want me to?
I do, because I want to expose you for the hypocrite that you are.
Me?
Yes. Ken, I read a lovely article this week written by a very knowledgeable man who knows a lot about Melody Festival and Eurovision, who implored everybody reading to only vote for one act in the Melody Festival and final. Who was that man?
That was me.
And how many did you vote for, Ken?
3. And I didn't even vote for my favorite song.
The prosecution rests. So what happened?
What happened? I mean, and
you have to answer for your crimes.
Yeah, I was so. Do you know what happened? What happened was I was so sure that Marcus and Martinus would win.
Right.
So I was just trying to get my favorite songs a bit higher up in the scoreboard. Okay, so nice. It wasn't like if I didn't vote for the one that I was thinking of sending. I was just voting
the exact opposite of what
whatever.
I
wouldn't say that because I took my two favorite songs and also Medina, which because I thought Medina might have a shot, and they came second.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would like something Swedish to go there.
But we would still like the voting system to be overhauled for next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was very clear that it doesn't work because I mean. We talked about this in the last episode. We lost a lot of the like songs that made people talk and make more people want to watch the show, and got some 2+ songs that nobody cared about. And it was very obvious that people didn't care about them when they came into the final. But we also got Cassiopeia, who was second in her semifinal and turned out to be number 4. So of course a lot of people liked that song, but the voting system with these age groups and all these things made her almost not go to the final.
Yeah.
So it's something is very fishy and wrong there. And SVT, I mean, the final was okay, but we need another system to make sure that the hits are coming, that there's a variety of songs, because the people are losing interest. The final was not even the most watched Melodifestivalen Pro show this year. Wow. The first semifinal and the second semifinal had more people watching than the final. That has never happened in history. The viewership on TV on Saturday night was worse, the worst one in 30 years.
Wow.
Then, of course, you can't really compare it because there's probably another 500,000 or something from SVT Play, which right. is not in these figures. But yeah, it's still very, very bad. So it's the music and the art. I mean, if somebody like me don't even think it's very exciting and yep. don't want to vote for something,
yeah.
then something is wrong because okay. that's my job.
and the thing is, SVT are unlikely to change anything in the good times. They're going to say, well, don't fix it if it ain't broke. But now, with the viewing numbers, something has got to change.
Yeah, you can hope that. Then at the same time, all the songs, I mean, we had like 18 songs out of 20 becoming hits on Spotify today. And they are a bit, for being a public broadcaster, that shouldn't care about neither viewing figures or Spotify figures. They care about them a lot.
Mm.
So now at least they have one. So I don't, yeah, let's see if something happens to the music. The viewing system is something different. Yeah. That could probably, because they want the hits from Spotify into the final, of course. Yeah. So and not having Gunilla and Fröken Snusk there was a huge mistake for okay. SVT. And that could have brought people in. Also, one mistake they did was they started now to not show the interval acts on rehearsals. So the big thing with Björn and all, he did a body band for you who didn't watch Melodifestivalen with a lot of like famous Swedish singers and actors, actually. So there was not just Melodifestivalen famous people, but yeah, a lot yeah. of things. And if they showed that before, so the papers have been writing about, tune in to watch, like, I think they had more viewers, but they want to keep it a secret and make people to be surprised. That's not how it works. If people want to be surprised, if you're going to get people surprised, you need to have them in front of the TV. Mm. You can't have them watching Netflix, because then it's no use
yeah.
doing this. So yeah, I think SVT has to, and you never get anything out of them. I mean, they famously just say, oh, everything is fine. Like, yo, people are drawing these cards every week more than any. Mm. It's like, what the f*** are you talking about?
Yeah, those sort of statistics are interesting. But yeah, we care about the music. So speaking of music,
yep.
shall we, for the first time on this podcast, listen to a clip of Marcus and Martinez with their song, Unforgettable?
We haven't done that.
Well, no, because they didn't release
it. No, it feels like I've been talking about them for weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can finally listen to it. So this is Marcus and Martinez with Unforgettable. So yeah, that's Marcus and Martinez.
Look, yes.
I said I was a bit mean to them.
Yeah,
that's
you were
maybe
a bit mean
to say, but I don't mind, and I'll tell you why I don't mind. It's fine. It's totally fine. It's got elements of songs that I like, and that's all right. And it's very obviously very well produced. But what I will say is, who we send this year doesn't really matter because we're not going to win this year.
Yep.
Sweden won't win while hosting in this current age of Eurovision. So sending them is good in a way because it kind of doesn't matter. So this is fine to represent us. But also in a way, I'm glad we didn't send Cassiopeia because I want her to come back with an even better song. And I'm glad we didn't.
Same with Medina.
Yeah. So I want them to come back and do even better. Let's hear what you think again about this song.
About this song. I mean, I'm not raving for using another song from the same songwriter about this, but I mean, they present it amazingly. And you shouldn't forget, like, there are a lot of young boys and girls out in Europe that would love them as much as the young girls and boys are doing here.
Yeah.
So they regretted that. What I song wise, it's a good pop song. I'm a bit tired of these dancing instead of singing in the chorus. I think it's a bit something that you did 10 years ago. The sound of it, that's more like, yeah, people are pointing out Faithless all the time. Of course, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
I want to talk about this.
It's a bit from Faithless.
I received it was almost like a spy communication. I got a message from someone. They were like, Have you talked about Faithless in your podcast? And I was a little bit offended that they're asking me what I've talked about in the podcast. And it's like, you're supposed to be my friend. Listen to the fucking podcast. But then I was like, oh, okay, let me look into this. Now, I encourage everybody listening to this to do this exact same thing right now, if you can. On your phone, if you have Spotify, that's what you're listening on, open up the search and type in Faithless. What comes up in the search results? Marcus and Martinez.
Yeah, of course, because that's a big thing. And people love to do this parody. And here's the thing. Every song nowadays has something borrowed from something else, blah, blah, blah. It's there. And it gets a bit boring, but it's also maybe a bit too obviously stolen.
Controversially, I disagree. I don't actually think it's that similar.
Yeah, it's good.
What I think it's similar to, I think their voices and some of the bridge, I think it sounds like a Michael Jackson song. And I've said that about 5 different songs this year. And maybe that's just a sign of the times that we're recycling Michael Jackson now. But it's not a criticism, because if you're going to emulate anybody, why not like the king of pop?
Yeah,
I
think it's for them. Probably, of course, they know who Michael Jackson are, but I think it's The Weeknd they am looking for. Who is in his term, of course, listening to Michael Jackson.
Now, talking about staging.
Yep.
Obviously, this is fantastic for you, the viewer at home.
Yep.
How was this in the arena?
it's not very good in the arena at all.
Right.
Because the kids are coming for Marcus and Martinus. And in the beginning, as you see, it's like Loreen last year, but on the other direction.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they just moved it.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to see something. So what I suggest, not that anybody listened to me, but I hope that they will start narrow, because it's fine, and just widen it up.
The whole way.
Then in the end, I mean, they are in the middle of the arena when they come to Malmö, and they have all the support from the home audience. So start narrow and just open. Instead of this matrix thing in the end, which is quite good, try to just put the walls down, do something like opening so you get the public reaction, because that's what you do. On the other hand, everything that we've seen this year, everything is leaning into the trends that we've been talking about. It's live, it's weird, it's on blah, blah. And this is probably the one thing that's not. This is just well-produced pop music. And that could, of course, be a bad thing, but it could also be like, because people are comparing it a lot to Benjamin Ingrosso when he was there and famously got 20 points or something. He got like so little points. So he was like, that's people are still laughing to that. It's one of the worst public results we ever got lately.
Okay.
So, and that was also like a music video. Mm. But this is a much stronger song. And also, I start to look like a dirty old man here, but look at them, like when they produce, this is like, they are pop stars. And I mean, a lot of the people that's there today, they are not in this sense. And I mean, you can have pop, then you can start to have the discussion about what a pop star is today. Maybe it's more like they from Switzerland. I can't do pronouns.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm going to disagree ever so slightly, and it won't surprise you that we're going to disagree on this. I don't think they look like pop stars, but I can recognize my own bias here. To me, they look like children playing pop stars. Mm. Like they look like they're wearing costumes of pop stars. Mm. They don't look like the pop stars, but I understand that's because now, relative to me, they look like children, but they're 22. They're obviously men.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I'm not. That's not me trying to patronize them. I'm just giving my honest opinion.
But it comes
with
age.
Yeah.
I'm the same. Like they feel like kids. Of course, they're not. They're like they're grown up. They're always kids.
The other thing is that you've seen them since they were kids, and so I don't know. I haven't yet seen that like switch of like, oh shit, now they're adults.
But also, I met them.
Okay.
That's also a big difference. You meet somebody and they are like grown-ups. Yeah. Then you don't feel like they are children.
And look, again, it's not a criticism. This is purely my view. And they're obviously very popular. And as you said, there's a lot of young people that want to be them, want to be with them or whatever it is. So, you know, more power to them. And again, I'm happy we're sending them this year. But again, are they not an act that with the right song could win? So is it not a waste? Do you think they'll come back?
No. Maybe not. But I mean, I don't think it's a waste. I think this is perfectly, actually.
Yeah.
And here's also the thing. If we are famously, if something that the fan community hates Sweden for is sending well-produced pop song with men, because we did that for years until Cornelia 2 years ago and then Loreen. So right now it feels like, oh, men, that's fresh. But we had like that, like we, you know, Mons and Frans and yeah. So yeah, people hate that we are like, oh, they're going back to that again, blah, blah, blah. And I would have done that too if there was a shitload of, but for me now it feels like exactly what you said. It's like this year we're not going to win, and suddenly we send something that's, it's not bad, but it's not like what everything else is, and then it will stand out just because of that. But yeah, of course, we've been talking about this for 6 weeks now. This is not what I want. I want Sanremo. I want people singing Swedish. I want people doing songs that feels original.
Let's talk about this then. So this is the worst year on record for Swedish language representation, is it?
Yeah, one of them. There have been two as bad as this. Right.
So one song out of 12 in the final was in Swedish.
Mm. And that also was not, it had a Spanish name.
Yeah, it had a Spanish name. And we, as we worked out, it also had some other languages that we can't identify.
Yeah.
And that was Medina. They came second. So, but they came second, not close.
No, there was more points between Marcus Martinez and Medina then it was Medina and Dotter who was last.
And poor Dotter, she did not deserve to be last.
No, she didn't.
And when the jury votes came in, Jay Smith was last,
yep.
Which I can't say I'm sad about.
No.
But yeah, and then obviously you had Smash Into Pieces in third.
Yeah, which I completely missed. But it's me not knowing about rock.
Yeah.
I also want to do a shout out to a guy that I've done shout outs to a lot of in this podcast before, but Jimmy Åke Törnqvist, who wrote number one, number two, number three, and also number five.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. Like, I mean, that guy. And it's not like these three songs are super similar either. It's, yeah. I mean, you could have, yeah, but that's just amazing. And then Cassiopeia is in that group also, of course, as number four, which was probably my biggest surprise and happy feeling about Saturday, that she felt like a winner.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I loved that song. It was my favorite. And I was like thinking, oh, it will be like 10 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
People won't understand this. Like they, and obviously both the jury and the people loved it.
Well, she's my number one. And just the staging stood out so much compared to the others.
Yeah.
I mean, a few stood out for different reasons, but just a ray of sunshine, a breath of fresh air. I loved everything about it. And yeah, she should feel like a winner. She's the highest finishing female act.
Yep.
So yeah. Let's talk about Maria very briefly. Mm. Mid-table finish.
Yeah.
Not great.
7.
So what needs to happen? I mean, I'm going to make a recommendation that Maria and no one involved will ever hear. She should come back next year or the year after with another artist.
Mm.
With an artist like, say, Cloudy singing in Swedish, her singing in English, or Ukrainian.
Ukrainian. Yeah, that's what we're saying, yeah.
I want a mishmash. Estonia this year is two groups come together doing a collaboration.
Mm.
I think Maria would be perfect for that sort of thing. Bring the fierce female energy with someone bringing the authentic Swedish energy. I think that could be huge.
Yeah, that's a really good thing. Really good thought. I was like thinking about the Ukrainian thing. Do it in Ukrainian English and Swedish in English. I'm not caring. Just bring it all in.
Yeah.
Or I mean, Swedish and Ukrainian, that would be amazing also.
Yeah.
I mean,
she
can speak Swedish, so
So yeah, we're a little sad that she finished so low, but don't be too disheartened. Come back, we love you.
Yep,
we want you to do more.
Yep.
Now, before we move on from Sweden, we need to do two things, Ken.
Okay.
Because now we have the representative for Malmö from Sweden. We need to do a very quick recap on Sweden. Now, we've talked a lot about Sweden. Last year, Tattoo, Loreen, we won. Just an amazing song, like, just incredible. Upset a lot of people because obviously people thought it was Cha-Cha-Cha, a carrier that was going to win, and it became a whole big thing. But just an amazing song. And then the final started with all of the artists doing a, you know, We Are the World version.
Nice. Yeah.
It was nice. Yeah. And there was definitely some voices that stood out as better than others. And that's as much as I'll say about that. Year before was
Cornelia.
Now, that's a funny one because I did not like that song at all when it won. I liked it by the time it got to Eurovision, but it's because I was so wanted Teos to go with a song in Swedish. So I was quite biased against her. Now,
should we put Teos with Maria?
Oh,
then you get something.
Hey, now we're cooking. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Yeah.
Mm.
If, between the two of us, you're the one that needs to put the whispers in ears.
Yeah, that's what I do.
About that one. Mm? So, yeah, but I really liked it by the time it came. And it's an interesting one because on the surface, it looks like a sad girl song, but I actually don't think it is. It's got elements of a sad girl song, but it's a bit too, I don't know, a bit too poppy.
Okay.
I don't know. But I do like it now. And certainly 2 years on, looking back, I love it. It's a great song. But yeah, I didn't like it when it won. I'll be honest. But she did well that year.
Yeah, fourth.
Fourth.
It's amazing. Yeah, yeah. That crazy year when Ukraine won and the UK and Spain was fighting. I mean, it's great songs that year.
Yeah, so yeah. Really difficult year to win.
Yeah, crazy good to be number four.
So it's good. I'd be happy to see her come back with another song. I think she's a very charismatic performer.
Yep.
You could definitely say that at least.
She'll probably be back.
Brilliant. So they're currently seventh in the odds, Marcus and Martinez.
I hope as long as they get top 10, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
Respectable.
Yep.
It's a tough year, I'll be honest.
Yeah, it's a tough year. It's also very tough to be the home hosting nation in Eurovision every year because everybody's like, yeah, well, we're here. Good for you. Like, you seldom do something
amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look at UK last year. Jesus. It's
less,
not that.
Less said about that. Yeah, it's definitely not that. It's infinitely better. Now, on the official YouTube channel, Ken, they occasionally put up like vintage performances. Mm-hmm. And just completely randomly, do you know what they put up this week?
Nope.
Diggaloo Diggalay.
It's also have a celebratory year. It comes, I mean, we won with Waterloo in 74 and then Herreys won in 84.
Right.
So poor guys, they're like, it's nobody is really talking about that win.
Right.
No, it's more of a...
Well, we talk about it quite often.
Yeah, we talk a lot about it. They were actually doing at Melfest weekend, doing some live things on Saturday. I was just there on Friday. It's like a pre-party on Friday. And then on Saturday, I was at the big after party.
Oh. Is that the one that got evacuated?
Or? Yes. I was just ordering my first beer and I was just about to get it. And there's like, weep, 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 evacuate the building. So everybody, like thousands of people just going out in the -3 that we were in Stockholm.
Yeah.
People in very, very little clothes, I tell you. So yeah, but unfortunately they found there was a pub opened, like close. So that pub, O'Leary's, they got a good business for an hour. People were not allowed to go in again.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I actually missed Marcus and Martinez because I went back to the artist's hotel because my friend lived there. And I met Mons and I met Joke, as we just talked about, and people like that. So I stayed there and suddenly people were like, where are you? It started again. Like you missed Marcus and Martinez.
Okay. Let's move on. Unless you got anything else you want to say about Sweden, Mello?
No, I think it's going to be... I'm fine. It's interesting because people have asked me all day. That's what happens when I come back. Like, did the right song win? Did the right song win? And I've always had so many opinions, especially the two last years, because I've been so engaged that it should be Cornelia. It should be Loreen. We could never send something else. I was like... And this year, I'm like, you see, I voted for three. I just went... against everything that I stand for.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, I don't really care.
There were maybe five songs that if we'd sent any of them, you'd be like, fine.
Exactly.
Sure. There was a few songs you're like, absolutely not.
What you say before, it's like, it's good. Send them this year then. They were on the list of artists that should win. So good, send them this year then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Moving on.
Yep.
Hot off the press, Ken.
Yeah.
The Georgia song has just dropped.
Yes. I have no idea what this is.
Me neither. Shall we check it out?
Yeah.
Well, before we do that, should we talk a little recap about Georgia? Last year, was it Echo?
Yep. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Which didn't make the final.
No.
But it was, in my opinion, an amazing song that they sent last year. I forget the artist's name.
Iru.
I think so.
Iru
with Echo, yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, Iru with Echo last year. I loved it. Didn't make it to the... It came 12th in its semi-final, which is a real shame.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it didn't matter because Lorraine and Cha-Cha-Cha were the only two songs that anyone cared about. Now, the year before...
Yeah, that's what we come to.
Big favorite.
Circus Mercus.
Circus Mercus with Lock Me In. Just a crazy... prog rock, weird, funkadelic ride from start to finish.
Loved it.
I think I remember that you texted me and you were like, have you seen Georgia yet? And I was like, no. And you were like, you need to sit down and watch it. And I did. And it blew my mind. It's like, it reminds me of a lot of like prog rock songs. But then it just goes into this big, like poppy kind of ending, crescendo.
It's lovely. Yeah. I think it's the best thing they ever sent. This is one of the countries where I have a hard time to find anything that I really, really like. Mm. I think the first one they sent with Sopfo in 2007, it's called Visionary Dream, where they had people with swords dancing on the stage. That was also my first Eurovision on site that I was watching. So that have a special place in my heart. But otherwise, I think it's Circus Mercus. That's the only one that I really... They usually have songs I really hate.
Yeah.
Hate, but it's not my thing at all.
Would you say that they're songs you don't like, or are they just forgettable?
Both. Right. I think they have both of these. It's either forgettable, or I think they're really, really bad.
Now, looking real quick at the table here, they haven't been in the final since 2016, and then they came 20th.
Yeah.
So they have not been having a good run lately. And they've been in every year. It's not like they've missed a year. So, yeah, low expectations. Although I've really liked their songs from the last 2 years, so no idea. But this year, they're sending Nutsa Buzaladze with Firefighter. I see it in the air. I see it in the air. I'm rising from. I've seen enough.
The Georgians, Jennifer Lopez.
It's just, yeah. Oh, man. You've seen this a million times.
Yes.
You've heard it a million times.
Yeah, and better.
And much better. Mm. Yeah. So just relying too heavily on dancing and sexuality.
It's so fun coming from Marcus Martinez, because this is what... All the fans are saying about them, like, oh, you've seen it all the time. She's just produced, blah, blah, blah. It's so bland. You have the song. And now I'm saying the same thing about her. But yeah, sure. I mean, she's probably good at what she's doing. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Perfectly fine. Perfectly. Look, inoffensive. Like, it's not Hera Bjork. Like, I'm not in pain listening to this. No. But it's just... Non-qualifier.
She's... Yeah, we stopped just for the dance break. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like I'd already seen two.
Also, like the lyrics here. Sorry, but fire rising from the ashes like a phoenix. It's like...
Where have we heard that before?
Where have we heard that before? It's just, I don't know. Sing in your own language, please. Because often people have more to say than when they translate it into English. And it's just the only thing they have left is like fire or water or like, yeah.
I guarantee if this had been in... Georgian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much more interesting.
It would just be like, oh, yeah, well, I wonder what she's singing about. Yeah. Even if it is totally vapid crap. Like, but yeah. Oh, well.
Ending on a high note. Yeah. Really. No, I'm sorry, Georgia. But maybe she can make it to the final. She will never win, of course, but.
I'll do a hot take. I think this is another non-qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Georgia.
Poor Georgia. Poor Nutsa.
Poor Nutsa. That sounds like a. Pour me a nutza and I
will
take the dog out.
Pour me a nutza, I'll be back in the morning. Yeah, well, that feels like a terrible place to end, but we shall end.
I have not so much more to say.
We have this. Not so much more to say. Bravo, amazing. There it is.
Yep.
Thanks, Ken. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, as always, you can send us a DM on Instagram. You can leave lovely comments on the things that we're posting on Instagram. We love that. You can email us at deskmates@gmail.com.
Jesus.
Okay. You can comment directly under the episode in Spotify. And if we like your comment, we can publish it. I don't know. But we can't reply unless we do it directly on the episode. So, until next time.
Meow cat, please meow back.
Please meow back. Thanks. Bye-bye.